The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
Uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
I want to talk about what happened at the end of Raw. Daniel Bryan, successful in a victory over the WWE World Heavyweight Champion Randy Orton, when your director of operations, Kane, came down to the ring and essentially got in a fight with Daniel Bryan.
It's one way of looking at it, Cole. Another way of looking at it is the director of operations of the WWE comes down to ringside and gets assaulted by Daniel Bryan.
Come on, Hunter. I mean, the man works for you.
Absolutely. Which should be enough for him not to be attacked by a WWE superstar, shouldn't it?
What reason did Kane have to come down to the ring after the main event was over, when Monday Night Raw was going off the air, and to approach Daniel Bryan?
Lots of things go on in the business world that Kane has to take care of on a daily basis.
In the ring after the main event of Monday Night Raw, yes. That's when he's going to conduct his business.
We are going to conduct an internal investigation on why Kane was there, but I'm sure he has a reason. I don't micromanage Kane. I let him do his job. He went to the ring and was attacked by Daniel Bryan. There will be an internal investigation, and we'll come to the determination of whether Kane made a mistake or not.
Many speculate that Kane was out there because you guys told him to go out there because you were upset that Daniel Bryan beat your face of the company, Randy Orton.
Yes, and the second gunman on the grassy knoll was there too. You know, Cole, Kane has a difficult job dealing with WWE superstars. He handles it extremely well. Does he make mistakes occasionally? It doesn't change the fact that he was attacked by a WWE superstar and he defended himself. I will do an internal investigation and we will determine if any punishment needs to happen on either side.
What did you expect Daniel Bryan to do?
I have answered your question, right? Move on.
This is the second time you've told us in this forum that there was going to be an internal investigation.
Yes, there will be. Move on.
Thank you, Hunter.
Thank you.
Okay, sir. What do you mean by it?
Such is the trials and travails of trying to get a straight answer from a corporate structure. But here you will find some answers, as we are here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and yes, I survived my trip to Des Moines, Iowa, in the midst of a blinding blizzard. We'll get to that. Let's start with our technician who's keeping us on the air at the moment. That would be VRM.
Yeah. After working in another data center all day today, I'm glad I could come back here and there was no trace of Muffin and or Feather in our server room.
And, also at our tables, the Pony of the West Coast, Ethan Muslin.
Still wondering why you have to question the fact that the evil boss, Dr. Doofenshmirtz, isn't going to give you a straight answer without some sort of emotionally scarring backstory.
Given my family lineage, he's going to have to dig really, really deep to actually emotionally scar. But then I also have my man in the Big Apple, Jason Block.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, it's funny. As the weeks go by, CM Punk is missed, believe it or not, less and less and less. It's very interesting.
You couldn't tell that by Monday night's reaction.
Well, Monday night's Well, Nikki, why don't we talk about Monday night's reaction?
There were several CM Punk chants throughout the course of the show, which were subsequently ignored by the talent. comparatively, a total of two of these chants broke out at SmackDown, which is quite a sharp drop for only being missing a week.
Don't forget, they also have the ability to do this magical thing called editing.
No,
exactly.
Yes, but I'm going to speak from experience since I was actually in Des Moines. And to their credit, they did not edit out a Phil Brooks sign that popped up in the front row.
Ooh! Ouch! Now, that says a lot right there.
So it's interesting looking at both sides of this debate. And Jason, you've kind of called me out on some of this.
I have, but not in a negative way. We have discussed this actually on a very high level, which is strange coming from me. You know,
you're from New York. You're not supposed to come up here. I'm supposed to come down to your level.
Yeah, exactly. But because again, CM Punk has gone home and has violated the terms of his contract. This is the second week to discuss this. We haven't heard hide or hair of him. And WWE has basically cut him out of everything. The open, commercials, promo packages, right? Everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're rearranging all their plans.
I mean, there was an article this week on WWE about Ring of Honor, which was a fantastic article, if you saw.
Yeah, I read it. It was a phenomenal article.
Okay. And, except CM Punk wasn't there. It was edited out. They're playing hardball, and you want to know what? They should be.
It's a sad thing, and I've noticed that Tyler Brown has decided to join us. Let me get your thoughts about the angry Punk who has stormed away from WWE.
Well, as can be figured, a lot of people give it the akin to, you know, when Austin took his ball and walked home. CM Punk took his ball and walked home. Do we know everything that's going on in his head? No. I can't say that, you know, unless you know him personally or in his personal circle, none of us can really say for sure what's going on. And he's not going to sit there and come out, you know, he might come out far down the road. He might do a shoot interview. He probably won't go that road. I don't know. We don't know what's in his head. And the one thing, I don't know if everyone in the group has seen it or that's in the call currently, it was the thing I put up about, it was a guy doing a, I guess he's one of those guys who's like, oh, I'm going to do a shoot rant or whatever. And it's what makes us as fans look bad. It's people like that. We don't know what's going on in his head. He might be really tired from the constant, you know, he was champ for a long period of time. It was like a year plus, 400 plus days.
434.
Right. And we don't know what's going on in his head. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he wants to start a family. Maybe he's just done with wrestling. We don't know what's going on. So at this point, all we're doing is speculating, just in the same way when Austin took his ball and walked home. We knew he was frustrated, but did we know why? No, we didn't know until after the fact. So at this point, we're taking every angle, and we're just speculating. We'll never know unless Phil Brooks, CM Punk, comes out and says it. We don't know.
And according to a WWE employee, I showed you this quote, Jason. You said this was from.
You said this was from WWE Wrestling Observer.
Okay, yeah. And I'm not going to read all of this. I'm going to start about halfway down with this about an employee who was talking about CM Punk. Um, That interview with Ariel, he acted like he was the victim at the troops taping when Michelle was just joking around. This was the fuckface incident. That was really much ado about nothing. AJ took it to the wrong level. Do you really think AJ would have a pipe bomb interview time or longest diva champ BS if she wasn't dating Punk? Punk doesn't want to be the face of the company. He says he does, but this isn't Ring of Honor or OVW. He would complain so much that he would have to do Michael and Kelly at 9 in the morning, then fly to a completely different state for Raw, do Make-A-Wish, then the show, then SmackDown, then do something on Wednesday to fly home Thursday just to be back on the road Friday or Saturday. Nobody can handle a schedule like that for 4 months straight. He may come back as soon as Monday, or he may never come back. But if he never comes back, he better remember how many fans he's screwing over right now, the same way he believes the WWE is screwing him over. Source is not, also says, I'm not defending Vince or Triple H, especially Hunter, because people are seeing that Hunter taking over isn't as cool as they thought it would be. Outlaws, Nash, X-Pac, Flair, Michaels, Batista, yeah, must be nice to be Hunter's friend.
Where's Waltman? Is he just a trainer backstage, I assume?
I would think he'd only be in a trainer role because he's Hep C.
Well, I was just saying.
I think one of them.
Well, I was just thinking that it was old school role, and I was kind of curious as to why he didn't even at least make an appearance, as opposed to, you know, not even. I mean, he was one of the original degenerates.
Yeah.
Well.
And actually, it's not the click thing that really intrigues me. It's the comment that Punk is screwing over the fans. And to a point, I agree with that, but to a point, I don't. Ethan, what exactly is Punk's departure doing to the fans, to the boys, to the business?
It's depreciating the fans of an excellent worker, probably one of the greatest of the last 10, 20 years. It's depriving the roster of at least a very good upper-mid main event superstar. And it's depriving him of work, but as we've heard before, he's not really in a dire strait for money.
VRM, your thoughts?
Yeah, it is. A lot of fans, even though a lot of fans are going to see Brian right now, a lot of fans are getting screwed over because they might be quote-unquote, I use that term, this term very lightly, Punk's biggest fan, etc., etc. But you got to think the fact is, to use a point we were talking about earlier, the main thing that he's screwing over his own wallet, because there's this little date coming up in April, and it's kind of a big deal. It's called WrestleMania 30, and right now there was a check filled out to Phil Brooks, probably ready to be delivered on said date in April, but right now, it's just sitting in the bottom of Trips' office drawer because Punk's not coming to work to work for it.
Who's to say it hasn't already went through a shredder?
That's my thought. Jason, you don't feel that Punk's screwing over the fans at all?
No. The only person he's screwing over is himself. Okay? Because I put him in the exact same boat as Stone Cold Steve Austin. I really do. I just do. I mean, I just don't see the difference. Stone Cold Steve Austin was a wrestler who didn't like the creative direction and took his ball and went home. Right?
Twice.
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 Okay. CM Punk is doing the exact same thing and you're giving him a pass. I don't see the difference.
The difference is that Punk's concerns are a lot broader than Austin's were.
It's more than just creative. It's more than just creative differences. It's exhaustion. It's a whole lot more.
There's things on both sides of the equation here, not because Austin's two walkouts were directly because of booking. He didn't want to give away a match with Lesnar, and he didn't want a job to coach. Punk is in an upper mid card role. He wants to main event WrestleMania. I think he's pretty well damn earned it. This is not how you go about doing it. I agree with you there.
Yeah, and the problem supposedly is that he's now been passed over for main event for a part timer for the third year in a row.
Yeah, and that's probably another category there. It's the nepotism that the evil Dr. Doofenshmirtz has been doing lately.
Well, it's not just the nepotism from Evil Boss. It's WWE going for the cheap plugs and the cheap money with The Rock 2 years in a row in the main event, and now Batista, who's getting a movie on the way in the main event.
And Punk has been busting his ass 300 days a year doing what he's been told, helping them to a point. But to be honest, you know, he's screwing the fans. He's screwing some fans because there are people that paid money to buy, that bought tickets to go see shows to see Punk.
Agreed.
But where the real money is getting lost is to the boys. We talked about some of the animated features that Punk was going to be involved in. He was a part of Camp WWE. He was part of Slam City. Neither of which can be shown now because WWE is trying to make sure that Punk doesn't get any more royalties. They've taken him out of the intros. They've taken him out of the WrestleMania booking, and rightfully so.
This will also mean that CM Punk won't be doing At Midnight either.
That's true. That he's been taken out of that.
Yeah, there was a tweet this week. He was at Chris Hardwick was asked if he was going to, they were going to do it this week, and he basically said, "I don't think that's going to happen."
So, in that instance, he cost The Miz, no big loss, and possibly one or two other superstars an opportunity to get their faces out there outside of the wrestling circle, as it were.
Right.
But I've heard some interesting rumors both ways, because some people compared this to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm also going to throw in a Warrior reference, and the fact that Punk might be trying to leverage for more money. And Hunter don't want anything to do with it. Hunter's just like, yeah, whatever, keep walking. Vince wants him back. Hunter doesn't give two shits one way or the other. So, in this case, VRM, you know, now we've got Vince and Hunter at each other's throats. Poor Stephanie. Poor board of directors. But there's really no new information, so we don't, you know, we've got Raw this coming Monday in Los Angeles, correct?
Yeah, this is the big deal.
That's right, it'll be right here in LA. You might not get as much of the CM Punk chance as you did last week, mainly because it's not a Nor'easter crowd.
Ooh, I disagree. LA's a big town.
LA is a big town, and we got a decent amount of indie fans here, but not as much as Pittsburgh or New York.
I'm still pinning my drop dead date for March 3rd, which is Raw is Chicago.
So let's play this out. If he doesn't come back to Chicago, what happens? Does the show get hijacked, or is he not coming back? Or are they just going to pay him through his contract and let him go?
The Chicago crowd's going to try to hijack that show.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Would not be surprised if there was a riot at that show.
And I'm planning on making a very large batch of popcorn to sit down and watch it. I was tempted to take this month, that particular Monday, off. But next week isn't as essential to get Punk back as the March 3rd show is. Chicago fans are very vocal. Chicago fans are very opinionated. They like who they like. They hate who they'll hate. And if there's no Punk, they'll cheer for Brian.
But that'll probably be the only break between the CM Punk chants.
Pretty much.
That and the occasional JBL chant, the Jerry chant, the Michael Cole chant, the occasional fandangling.
And random Randy Savage chants and a few others.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be
surprised if they try to get away with a certain wrestler that cannot be spoken of.
Owen Hart?
Mr. Benoit.
Okay. And actually, I might use that as a segue. WrestleChat.net reported. Let's see, where did they? Well, thanks to our buddy Jim Williams, that WWE is going to have every WWE, WCW, and ECW pay-per-view available on the network.
Mm-hmm.
Including Over the Edge 1999, which was never released on DVD.
Ooh.
So, for trial week, I suggest we all call their bluffs. I'm still going to call WWE's bluff. I'm going to take that weekly trial. And I'm going to look up Backlash 2004.
Well, from what I had heard, he was going to be in the network archive, but there was going to be like some disclaimer, some sort of silly thing.
For Benoit, they're going to have a disclaimer. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't know what they're going to do for Owen. I really don't. But Tyler, you said I should just go look for WrestleMania 20. There's a reason I'm going after Backlash 04, because the main event of that night was essentially
a replay. It was a replay of Mania, wasn't it?
To a point. But it's the fact that Benoit made Michaels tap out in Canada. If the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, really wanted to censor something, that'd be it. Getting back to Punk, Tyler, I saw your statement. Punk is one of their top merchandise sellers. Yes.
I mean, I'm sure he's pretty much real close with Cena, maybe.
Well, he got up pretty high starting in 2011. Where did I read? Oops, I am distracted. That is not where I wanted to go. I was reading somewhere about merch and the fact that Cena is still obviously one of the top sellers. But Punk is like second or third, and Bryan is like is supposedly super way behind. Then again, you got to look at the merch, and then you got to look at who buys the merch. You also got to see, you know, because some of the questions I was reading on the board where they were talking about merchandise, and a couple of people said the reason that Daniel Bryan merch doesn't sell is who wants to wear a t-shirt with a goat on it? Why aren't they exploiting Yes?
They did that earlier, like a couple of years back with the Yes, 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 and No, No, No. You right. can't just keep recycling the gimmick.
Admitted, but there's more than one way to do that. And the fact that this chant is practically the new what, in the fact that it's lasted for 2 years.
And to
they could probably do something with, you know, I'm part of the Yes movement.
Yes, hashtag Yes movement or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, as a matter of fact, there's a video that just was published that another sports team has done the Yes chant before a big game. Two Catholic schools did it. A Catholic school did it. I have the YouTube clip if you're interested.
There's that, and then there's the Super Bowl tweet.
Right, which we saw on Raw.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, here's a fan suggestion that I came across for Daniel Bryan.
That's okay. That's not terrible.
That might be workable.
But basically, it's the letter YES in a vertical form with his two hands stretched out in the Y, for those who can't see it in podcast land. Okay? With the arms raised. That's not bad.
See, that...
You might want to adjust that to just being Brian's top half, and then you got it.
Yeah. Or just a, you know, just an outline of him with Yes in huge letters behind him. Or, heck, I'd wear a shirt with, you know, one of those all, you know, complete wraparound shirts with Yes all over it in different fonts, sizes, shapes. I'd wear it. But they really need to capitalize on that if they want to get Daniel Bryan's merch up. They're not discounting Punk stuff yet. And, oh, by the way, Punk stuff was still for sale.
I mean, right now, as we... No, that's not PG.
I'm not gracing that with anything on the air.
No. I mean, I'm going right now to the WWE shop, okay?
Okay.
Big E, by the way, I'm just looking at it, has a brand new shirt. Brand new. Just saw it.
Does it have a pony on it?
No, it does not have a pony on it.
Then I'm not going to buy it.
It looks something like this. Okay. There it is. There's his shirt.
Okay, his new shirt with Big E and big ending with a lion's head. Over the term on the back. That's real simple.
Mm. Yeah.
By the way, the only discounted shirts are the Rise Above Cancer shirts for CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
All his Best in the World stuff is 25, used for 21. That's it. So there's nothing really discounted there.
Yeah, everything else is still being sold at full price. Which, oh, by the way, Punk still gets the residuals on that.
Exactly.
So, weep not for the man, because WWE is still going to make their money.
And they're still going to take care of him.
Yeah.
This is just, the little things are not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not important yet.
No, but this is something we're going to keep our eyes on. And like I said, stay tuned to the internets, folks. If there's anything left of them after the March 3rd Raw, I might have to do a special broadcast.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so did anything happen on Raw that was actually important and actually moved the storyline forward? Because a couple of things did, from what I remember.
One thing that I've said it before and I'll say it again. Cody Rhodes currently has the prettiest moonsault in all the WWE.
And boy, was balls. Granted, he didn't land on it perfectly, but it was damn fine moonsault.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty, except for that landing. I don't know if it was a combination of Road Dogg was too far to the right, or he was too far to the left, or Road Dogg just didn't take the bump cleanly or something, but the actual motion was very good, but...
Oh, yeah.
Let's finish talking about this. One thing I did want to talk about... ask about, and that's with all the blood as of late.
Yeah, it's strange that the mood-o-meter's starting to go off again. We've had was it Monday that Reigns got a cut over his eye?
Over his eye, yeah, it was Monday.
And Swagger's had his lip busted open twice in the last 2 weeks. Who else?
Bray Wyatt.
Darren Young.
That was the week before. Darren Young got his lip busted open during the match that resulted in him breaking up with Titus O'Neil. And yes, uh-huh. Take that any way you wish.
I'm taking it as the crime time treatment. Thank you very much.
There you go.
And Ed felt like the crime time pro. Orton got cut, didn't he?
I think he had a cut reopened. That was on his forehead. I know he's had a scab up there for a little bit.
Oh, and Naomi! Oh my God!
Yeah, this is probably the one that bothers me the most, because they were finally pushing Naomi. They were finally teasing the breakup between AJ and Tamina, since AJ's been throwing Tamina under the bus for her failures. Naomi practically gets her eye kicked out of her head.
And did you see the pictures? Oh my goodness.
I don't want to now.
A bruised orbital bone, actual eye damage, one or two other things. I know she's going to be laid up for a couple of months after this, so she's going to miss Mania.
No, I think she's clear.
Already?
Yeah.
Really?
Wait a minute, that's true. There's no broken bones involved.
No.
Yeah. Maybe a mask. That's about it.
And of course, Cena was out last week because Orton put something in his eye. It was a finger. And
you sure?
It was about that size.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's my fault. Mm-hmm.
But now, do you think the fact that we're having all these minor injuries is the fact that they're getting stiffer because it's competition, or they're getting sloppy? I think it's more competition, to be honest.
It's competition. It's, you know, we really got to show off for Mania season. We have got to turn all this up a notch. And
it seems a bit of overdrive, though.
Yeah.
You want to be competitive for Mania, but you don't want to. Don't want to cut up open your opponent.
Yeah, and you don't want to, get it let it happen so soon. I mean, we're still in the first.
Go ahead.
We're still in the first 2-3 weeks of Mania season. We've still got 7 to go.
Yeah, I mean, at least ramp it up a little bit, but you turned it up too much if you're starting to kick people in the head, knock them out cold.
And in Cena's case, I saw a couple of pictures after this supposed injury, and I really don't think it was a physical thing. It was just him and Orton were wrestling a little too close.
Baby oil!
Ah! Hey!
So, but we did advance a little bit with Brian's issues with the Authority with his match with Randy Orton. That was slightly interrupted.
Yeah, but the thing was that was pay-per-view quality, actually.
Well, yeah.
Well, they got to give away the singles match now because they're going to have a chamber match in
a couple of weeks. And this is, I'm wondering, since they're in a bit of scramble booking, guys. And I'll start with you, Tyler. Was this a test match to see if Brian Orton could actually draw down the line?
I think it's more or less a test of to see whether Orton, as a champion, can still be entertaining, because right now everybody hates Orton. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, no buts about it. Everyone's tired of anything involving Orton, anything involving Cena Orton, any combination which has Orton involved, just for the simple fact that he's been shoved down our throats the past few months. So, truthfully, I think people are just, in general, tired of Orton, and they'd rather Daniel be in the top spot.
That's pretty much confirmed by the audience reactions, Ethan. Your thoughts on this?
Well, we actually just caught up ourselves on the Royal Rumble match, and I was hearing all those hilarious chants coming out of from the Royal Rumble. Ugh.
Yeah.
Granted, yes, it was kind of Smarkland, but we are kind of sick and tired of Orton Cena, because like, we went through this 7 years ago. Why are we doing it now? I know it's a 7 year rule, but we're smarter than that. We remember 7 years ago when this happened before. We should be having some new people now.
I mean, it's to the point now that Batista is getting booed out of the buildings now.
Well, apparently what happened after the Rumble, he mocked the yes chant and flipped off the audience.
Yeah.
Mainly because since they crapped on the fact that he won the Rumble, he may as well just keep going with it and go full-blown heel. Mm-hmm.
Would that end up setting up a possible Batista Bryan main at WrestleMania?
That has potential. And I'll tell you what, that would probably sell some tickets, because we didn't get to see that because there was a huge disparity of where they were on the card at the time Batista quit, quote unquote. And, you know, in this case, it would make Batista look like the monster that he can be. But somewhere in the middle of all this, we still have to resolve Brian's issues directly with the authority. And huge props, by the way, having corporate Kane involved, and specifically because of what happened on SmackDown. What's the word I'm looking for, gentlemen?
Continuity?
Quite. Since I couldn't get on camera, I'll just go ahead and tell you how I was reacting to this. I was jumping up and down over the fact that Brian brought up Team Hell No, brought up all the trials and tribulations he went through with Kane, and doesn't understand why a Hellhound would sell out.
Which makes sense.
To which the Hellhound calmly replied, "I've traded my undisclosed location in the bowels of arenas for a corner office." Which is strange, because now I'm semi-sympathetic to Kane, because if I was given an opportunity to move up that quickly, I'd take it. Wouldn't you?
Depends on if the bowels of arenas had a coffee machine, good Wi-Fi, and all that sort of stuff.
And if you're not being dumped on with multi-million-dollar projects that you're expected to run, and you're expected to run the entire department for said projects.
Director of Operations is just a lovely, lovely corporate title for middle manager.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Hunter may trust Kane with the position because there really isn't a whole lot to it. And as we heard in the intro, the internal investigation probably was summed up in Hunter going to Kane saying, I know you don't want to do this, but just go out there and apologize to him. That should shut him up.
Which we'll see on Monday.
No, Kane apologized on SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
He came out and read his, recited his memorized statement about how he had been unprofessional, and as a director of operations, he's not supposed to put his hands on the talent and this, that, and the other thing, and that just riled Brian up even more.
Yeah, because he knows it's bullshit. We know it's bullshit.
Anybody who's worked in the corporate environment knows exactly what that apology was. You know, essentially, your boss told you to say that, right? Because you sure as hell don't mean it. But to Kane's credit, he simply distracted Brian and most of the audience by having him face Antonio Cesaro. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. I don't know if I want to watch that. Oh, it hurts. Nobody would chant ROH with me. Damn it.
Again, great article this week on WWE.com. Read it. It's really good.
So, you know, thank you. I never thought I'd have to thank Kane for something. So, but having that dynamic, at some point, I think Brian is going to get the opportunity to face Kane. Or at least they are wasting some good promos if this is not going to happen.
And the Elimination Chamber is when? A week from Sunday or 2 weeks from Sunday?
I think two, because doesn't Orton have to face everyone, or is it?
The Chamber's on the 23rd, launches the 24th.
So 2 weeks from this Sunday.
Yeah. So Orton still has his little gauntlet to run through. Brian's going to need something to do as well, so Brian Kane would probably be a nice little filler. Speaking of filler, oh, let's see what the GM has to say. Thank you for not breaking the budget by stopping in Williams, Iowa, instead of trying to drive home in the middle of that snowstorm. As it was quoted to me, Mr. GM, and the person who quoted it to me is in the near vicinity, a cot, a squat, and Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Still better than anything right now in Sochi.
Wow!
Oh.
Truthful.
Very truthful. Very truthful. Let's see. Sorry that you had to fight some of that on the way in and tried to fight some of it on the way out. Glad you got home intact. All eyes on Chamber. And, of course, your chance to go to a show on March 1st before the explosion in Chicago. You're going to be in Cedar Rapids. I might see some of the destruction before it actually happens. Oh, we still got plenty to talk about, gentlemen, so let's take a quick breather here. I believe the vending machines are plugged in. I know the restrooms are unlocked. Jason, cue up some commercials.
Well, let's just send us to us, please.
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
how many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news?
3, 4, 5 or more?
Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net,
your pro wrestling news source.
Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
If you have a dog, then you know that accidents happen. You've tried pads, but they just spill off the corner onto the floor. Tired of coming home to a mess every single day? There's gotta be a better way. Introducing the Bullseye Pee Pads, specifically designed with pheromones so your dog is drawn to the center of the pad. The problem with regular pee pads is that your dog will pee anywhere on the pad, which could be messy. But the Bullseye Pee Pads have concentrated pheromones that attract your dog right to the center of the pad only. Now your dog hits the target every time. It even locks in odors and releases a pleasant scent. The pad's absorbent quilted material is filled with odor-eliminating microlock beads that absorb and hold the liquid. This is a quarter teaspoon of the actual microbeads that are inside the Bullseye pee pads. Watch how they absorb all the liquid. It's amazing! Now see them in action inside the pad. We poured the same amount of liquid onto both pads. See it run off a leading competitor's pad, but not the Bullseye pad. And even when we add more, it still stays off the floor for all-day use. The Bullseye is the best for puppy training, and the Bullseye is a must if you live in an apartment. Your dog will never need to wait for the elevator again.
I hate going out in the rain or any bad weather. Thank goodness for the Bullseye pads.
Call now and get 30 Bullseye pee pads for only $12.99. But wait, if you order right now, you can double the offer and get 30 more. Plus, you can also get our famous pee terminator. For those stubborn pet stains you already have, blast them away with the pee terminator. Specially designed so you don't have to bend. Just spray away all kinds of pet stains. And the best part is, they won't be back. The Bullseye Pee Pads, just $12.99. Call now.
Unlike my cohorts here, I brought gifts.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Yes. I have every running gag in BS Big Show history rolled into one big mess for us. Tim Tebow and Andy Reid holding TC and Benoodles while writing Pinkie Pie, who suffered from those three letters everybody hates, A-C-L. And what's that protruding from Pinkie Pie's dumper? Of course it's the 200th episode commemorative Turkey Baster.
Wow!
Wow!
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't write this
Oh, I'm sorry. Because you forgot half a douche. That's what you forgot.
The BS Big Show, only on CLWA3.
On the North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Jason Block, Tyler Brown, and Ethan Muslin. VRM had a back emergency that he needed to take care of, so hopefully he'll be better in the morning. Gentlemen, we've come across some milestones in the past week. It seems that the rated R superstar is going to have to tone down his act now that he's a daddy.
He's now going to be the rated G diaper changer, pretty much.
Given that he has the genes that the was a girl, right?
Yes.
So she was born with a full head of hair and almost a full set of teeth. Thank you.
And also because, of course, as we know, he is with Beth Phoenix. Beth Phoenix is the mom. I believe he announced it on CBC this week.
Yes, and it was one of these things that a lot of people didn't even know Beth was pregnant. Edge had kept this completely under the had kept this under the radar for a long time.
Wow, they kept wrestling as a wrestling secret? Who knew?
Edge overall had been a fairly private person even during his wrestling days, short of incidents with Matt Hardy and Lita. And since most of his time is spent on the set of Haven, congrats on the new season, bro, he hasn't had a whole lot of time to talk wrestling or talk about family, but congrats to him, and I hope that he has a very healthy and happy daughter who will get to play with Christian's kids. And here we go again.
No.
Yeah, that's what we need about a couple of decades later. It's their kids playing kazoos and streamers.
Ah!
Yes. Yes. I will pay. I'm putting it out there. Adam, Jay, do me the favor. When your kids turn 5 or 6, I want you to put out a video of them with kazoos and streamers.
Well, then you'd have to throw Triple H's kid into the mix just for shiggles.
By the time, you know, those two, Edge and Christian's kids are of a reasonable age, Hunter's oldest daughter should be old enough to babysit.
Oh, God.
Time to play the game.
And she will show up with a shovel.
Oh, come on.
Or a toy hammer, all right?
Yeah, a squeaky hammer.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was going to say the squeaky sledgehammer.
Wow.
And she'll show up on the doorstep in a business suit. With her hair pulled back. And I'm going to stop right there because I want to make one more joke and I can't.
Can't do it. Can't
nope.
Do it.
Nope, I can't.
Nope.
Do it.
All of your nope.
You want to post it in the chat room, or is this going to be after I stop recording?
I think I'm going to post this in the chat room.
Okay, so go on. Okay.
So anyway, the other big milestone is John Cena.
Oh, jeez. Right. You can't say that. Right. Okay.
Oh, my God.
No, not at all. Go ahead.
No, not at all. John Cena would never let something as simple as an eye injury to keep him from performing. After all, probably a few days under the golden rays of the sun would restore Superman. So off he went to continue his mission with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and congratulations to him on granting his 400th wish. And to your comment during break, Ethan, the genie is out of the bottle and he ain't going back.
Nope.
And honestly, though, that's really good. I hope he makes it to 500. I hope he makes it to 1,000. No joke. It's a great thing. And seriously, as someone who knows a Wish kid, go to wish.org, donate your airline miles, which I did, by the way. I donated about 13,000 miles last year. I emptied my account after, if you remember correctly, I told you about this. They booed him when he was making his spot at WrestleMania. And I was like, are you kidding me? Really? You guys remember that, right?
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Well, he had a mic in his hands and they knew what he was recording, because I was going to reference a similar incident some years ago. you guys remember one of the WWE Games commercials where Lillian Garcia is introducing Triple H and his partner keeps changing?
Yes.
The audio for that was actually recorded at a SmackDown taping. Or at least her part of it was recorded at a SmackDown taping. The problem was they turned her mic off. So we had no idea what was going on. If we knew what she was doing, or if they could have done an example of something or explained it to us, we would have even given them crowd noise. Otherwise, we just wanted her off the screen. Because we didn't know what was going on. Oh, we do know one thing that's going on, though. The cracks are getting more and more visible within the shield.
Yes.
Seth Rollins is a blind bastard. or a very big optimist. I'm not sure which. They gave him a headset on SmackDown, and he denied that there was any issues within the shield.
Okay.
And Ethan just watching Ambrose and Reigns is almost comical now. It's just comical.
It's between that and Seth Rollins giving the slip. Wait. Sorry, wrong slip. I'm sorry.
Stop that. But, I mean, to the point, Tyler, SmackDown tapings, there was, you know, where Reigns destroyed, I believe it was Ziggler, and then casually walked over and tagged Ambrose and said, there, go ahead, get your win.
She looks so cracked right now, even a glass doctor can't help him.
And just the histrionics post-match when Rollins gets in between him, is like, hey. He's trying to keep them at least together until they take care of a little issue called the Wyatt family, which is not showing any damage such as this, Jason.
No, and you want to know something? To me, this match intrigues me more than the Chamber match.
Which is kind of why I'm still kicking a little bit that I realize that the format of the match would not be conducive to what we've got here, but I want this six-man tag in a chamber.
That'd be pretty awesome.
It would be insanely good.
Just knowing in character how psycho Bray Wyatt is. Same with Harper. It'd be an interesting trial by fire for Rowan. Ambrose, if he's not suggesting it right now, is crossing his fingers that it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a crazy enough bastard to go in there and do it. Reigns would do it in a heartbeat.
Reigns, by the way, if you notice, they are slowly turning him into that superstar that you know he's going to be.
I've been getting these huge Batista 2005 vibes off of him lately.
Uh-huh.
Where Dave slowly turned away from Evolution, and we're going to get that final, you know, I'm hoping we get the same kind of exclamation point with Reigns plowing Ambrose through the announce table, just power bombing him on his own, with Rollins standing nearby going, what the hell?
But no, but I'm just noticing that jumping leg drop from the floor to the apron. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I couldn't see it very well from where I was sitting, and I'll explain that in a minute. But I saw it tonight, and this is only like the second or third time he's done it, and it's really, really cool.
The Superman punch. Okay.
We finally found a superhero where it looks like he's delivering it like a freaking superhero.
Right, exactly. And those couple of things combined with his, pardon me, you know, his oh-so-virile good looks, you know, he's going to be that superstar.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be pushed to the moon.
And I'm on board. I want to see this happen. I can't wait for it to happen. Reigns is already getting chants.
Okay.
Ambrose is acting like a jealous brat.
Rollins
is just trying to keep shit together.
Exactly. He is a jealous brat. Come on! He's just a psychopath!
And it ain't an act.
No.
I swear to God it ain't an act.
Uh-huh, I know. You don't. You know this firsthand. It ain't an act.
I've been subjected to John Moxley's, I don't even know how to describe it. It's not musings. It was incomprehensible. It didn't matter what the hell he was saying. It was rambling. I don't even remember what the hell he was saying. I was laughing so hard. Because it was just how he was saying it. And then after he was done, I was like, here, talk to Lou. So this is gonna make a superstar out of Reigns, and Ambrose is gonna have some fun being brought up into the upper mid card as a heel foil to Reigns, because those two need to go at each other's throats for a couple of months before Reigns really starts tearing things apart. Mm-hmm. So with these guys moving up the card, there's some room. So a couple people are sneaking in. We saw Rusev at the Rumble. And Rusev had a match at the SmackDown tapings. We have witnessed the evolution. And Emma has already shown us how entertaining she is. Yes, I know what I did there.
Yes, you did. Oh my God, she's it was some great stuff. It was really good. If you heard the commentary on Main Event.
Yeah, did Tyler, Ethan, did either of you guys see Main Event?
Nope.
I've not seen Main Event. I did see Emma do her little dance off with Summer Rae, though.
Okay. She wasn't actually in a match in Main Event, but they did give her a full entrance. Santino introduced her. And they started playing that quirky dance club wub wub thing that she comes out to.
That one.
Yeah. And there were bubbles.
Oh, wow. Oh, you think they stole it from that?
Maybe. I don't know.
And there were bubbles.
lots.
Lots and lots of tiny bubbles. Wait.
I think a certain general manager might be happy with that.
Well, it was cute. It translates, you know, they shot it very well. When I saw it on Main Event, it was just hard to see from where I was sitting, even though I had my choice of seats. The GM is actually, you know, giving me a pat on the back, because the weather conditions in Des Moines right around showtime were pretty bleak. The area around the Wells Fargo Arena is not level by any means. So it was fun watching people trying to drive uphill in 2 or 3 inches of snow. I was fortunate that I did leave early enough that I arrived at the arena around 4:30. Found myself a parking space and it at least got into the building before it just kept on snowing. If you saw empty seats on SmackDown, it was not due to a lack of interest. And the reason you probably didn't see my ugly mug is because there were a lot of open seats on the near ramp side, not the camera ramp side where you see wrestlers slapping hands and all that, the other side of the ramp. We had enough no-shows that we kind of spread out a little bit, which I'm kind of happy for, because I had a 6'10" gentleman in a Mark Henry shirt sitting right in front of me.
Speaking of Mr. Henry.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you sure that wasn't actually Mark Henry?
No, this guy was white.
And probably didn't have a cupcake in each hand.
And like I said, he was tall. He wasn't wide. He was tall. Mark Henry's a big guy, don't get me wrong. And I think I would recognize somebody that big. But he's gonna show up on Monday, because somebody told him that Betty White was gonna be there.
God.
Ethan got it.
I got it too. Yipe.
With all due respects to Mae Young, who's probably laughing about it as well.
No, she probably thinks Betty White's is a two-bit schlunt.
Hey. Do not insult the Betty, okay? Seriously.
I'm not insulting the Betty.
I'm looking forward to this because Betty's been in the entertainment business long enough that she's going to be one of those that gets it. This is going to be as spot on as the Bob Barker.
If that is, then we're in for some fun stuff.
I'm fairly confident of this. Betty White is somebody who, like I said, she's been in the entertainment business longer than I've been on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Longer than you've been on the planet, sir.
Yeah. She's double my age.
So, which means she's done live, she's done improv, so she's going to be in her element. This isn't going to be too difficult.
As long as they keep her backstage, it's all good.
They're not going to... Nobody's going to put her through a table.
No.
But WWE, here is your freebie. I dare you to have Mark Henry buddy up with her.
It's sexual, baby. Oh. And I want to give it all to you.
That's not PG.
Right on.
That's not PG, but it's funny.
No, it's not PG. But
I need something to look forward to on Monday since we're getting Cena versus Orton.
Oh, God. No, not again. No.
No.
What?
Well, no. Ethan, I don't mean to step on you, but I'm going to have to use this.
I'm thinking of a number between one and no. That's perfectly fine.
Because, you know, there's not enough no in the word no to tell you how much no I've got for this match.
The books says no.
I mean, I understand it from a storyline perspective that Hunter is trying to beat some sense into Orton by having him face everybody else who's going to be in the chamber.
Because then he's beaten Christian, lost to Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. He's going to fight Cena. Then he's got to fight Cesaro and
Sheamus.
Okay.
So, I should be angry that he beat Christian, but I'm not. Because at least this one wasn't directly for the title. And they finished it on an air KO, so I can't complain.
An air KO?
Christian was going to do a middle rope spot, and Orton caught him midair.
Nice. Okay.
And, they haven't done an air KO like that in a while, so I'm okay with it. I'm not okay with Orton winning, but is what is. I am almost out of news. Let me just check something real quick.
Has anybody brought up, and I don't know if y'all really want to talk about this, but the TNA sale that almost happened and who it was really going to go to?
I saw some information about that, and I want to be curious to know, Tyler, this was for reals, the whole...
Yeah, it was. They were trying to, of course, throw everybody off and be like, oh, no, we're not for sale, yada, yada. They were really about to sell. So here's the deal. The whole talks about Toby Keith and Jeff Jarrett buying TNA was going to come to fruition. The only problem was Dixie Carter wanted to still remain in the company. She wanted to still be an on-air character. And they were like, no, we buy the company, you're gone. And, of course, She was like, they didn't want to sell because that was one of the terms of the deal, was that Dixie was still to remain on her character, part of the team, yada, yada. And they were like, no, we want nothing to do with you anymore. And, of course, they'd rather pass up the money, and Bob kind of screwed himself. The whole Carter family did, truthfully.
Well, it's also very interesting, though, because I actually did watch I'm watching the pre-taped impacts, and there's some good stuff coming on there. There really is. I mean, I love MVP as the investor. His promo was excellent, and his interactions with Rockstar Spud, who, by the way, if you are not watching him, he is a great, great, great comedy character right now. Okay? He is the total kiss-ass, total lackey, you know what I'm saying? Total...
Yeah.
He makes Brad Maddox look competent. If you know what I mean.
Okay, that's hard to do.
Yeah. But he is... He's really good at being that sort of lackey, if you know what I mean. The fact that Magnus is playing the cowardly heel very well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking the whole... I mean, we had Abyss finally unmask as Joseph Park this week. We had Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode fight it out for the number one contendership. Bobby Roode won. This whole thing about, Samuel Shaw playing that Patrick Bateman psycho, the American Psycho character.
Right.
It's some good stuff. I mean, they kept the Dixie Carter thing to a minimum, and the audience is about 1.5 million. I'm not saying the TNA still doesn't have problems, but when they come out with consistently good episodes, I'm not going to, fault them for it. You know what I mean?
No, I'm just, it's just amusing to me that they had an opportunity to get their butts out of this mess. I'm glad that, they're finally, finally getting a quality product. But, there's already a lot of damage done, at least in the public eye, to TNA.
In the last several years, at least.
Oh, yeah. And if you really want another issue, although this might not be as major, Christopher Daniels is his contract's coming up in April. There's a pretty good chance that he might end up as part of the cost cutting. I know that they use him on and off. Have they been using him lately, Jason?
Oh yeah, he's part of Bad Influence with
okay.
Kazarian. And as a matter of fact, I think he played Curry Man this week. Because he got put in the coffin because next week Anderson and Bully Ray are going to have a coffin match. I think because, Bully Ray has gone through this new transformation where he's this darker character after Aces and Eights got broken up and he blames Anderson for it.
Okay.
And, again, that's another good thing. A lot of little good things are happening. It's just that the whole thing is ruined by Dixie Carter and her overbearing heel shtick.
Yeah.
And the fact is she's not good at it. And if she's in smaller doses, which she was this week, you can what's the word I'm looking for? You can have it.
Tolerate.
You can tolerate it. Yeah.
Digest it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Sure.
So, there's, while some speculate that he might be, he might be on the chopping block, if Bad Influence is still, a power in the tag team division, comment from Daniel's agent, yes, his contract is expiring in April, but we're confident that he's a proven commodity for TNA. Our negotiations will reflect that.
Uh-oh.
So, Ethan, I sense a little bit of hardball.
I think that might be putting it a little lightly.
D'Angelo's got him outnumbered. Crickets. Anyway.
Pretty much, though.
But I've got my fingers crossed. If Christopher Daniels is still making decent money with TNA and he doesn't have to wait tables or do anything else, which, you know, don't get me started. The fact that I know that there is a knockout who makes more money bartending than she does wrestling.
ODB, for the number, right?
Right. The fact that she makes more money as a bartender than she does wrestling for the number two company in the country should be very, very telling.
And the fact that they're not going to... I mean, how many episodes did they tape in advance? Did they tape up till lockdown, pretty much?
Something ridiculous like that. I know they taped a bunch. And they've covered themselves for, you know, the fact that Sting's out the door, AJ Styles is out the door. There's potential of others out the door.
Including Kurt Angle, believe it or not.
Kurt probably wants his farewell run in the Fed. It's too late for him to jump. I don't think his contract will allow him to jump ship.
Not right now, but according to SE Scoops, who was right about, you know, a couple of other things, including the fact, by the way, that we're going to get our first next-gen video game this coming fall. WWE 2K15 has been confirmed for the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Okay.
And I can't wait to see that. That's going to be, the rumor is that from PW Insider, there's another guy leaving, and that's Alberto Del Rio, believe it or not.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. Del Rio is considering his options, and to be honest, Tyler, Del Rio's been spinning his wheels for a while, so I wouldn't hold it against him if he wants to leave.
No, I mean, I can't say as a blame him. He used to have, I mean, one thing I've noticed is that he used to have this really grandeur entrance with the cars, and that's kind of stopped. He's just been walking out, which is, I guess, typical to every other wrestler. The only exceptions, I think, in history have been JBL, who got the limo, and that's been the primary one, and of course, the occasional DX, the special entrances. But Del Rio is supposed to be a Mexican aristocrat. So he was showing that off by coming in really fancy cars, and you'd hear Lawler and Cole and all these other people talk about, yeah, this is a $100,000 car, this is a $250,000 car, and he doesn't have that anymore. Now he's basically a mid-card, pissed-off Mexican aristocrat, but who's going to get behind that? And he's been basically dumped down to the middle level. He's not really in the championship realm. He's just feuding with Batista. And then what happens from there? You know, they just keep him in the middle card. Is he going to go down excuse me, to a point where he's at Zack Ryder's level, where he just kind of, he's here, there, and then just goes into oblivion? I don't know. But understandably, I mean, considering where he was in championship run not long ago, and now he's doing this, I honestly can't say as I blame him.
A couple of other things. I don't know if you knew about this. Couple of things from SE Scoops. Michael Cole's father passed away this past Friday.
I did hear about this, and, you know, condolences to him and his family. You know, I make a lot of fun of Michael Cole, and I deliberately did not bring up the fact that somebody finally bowled him over on Raw. When they did a table spot, I think during the main event. But yes, condolences to him and his family. Take whatever time you need.
And getting back to Kurt Angle for a second. Sure. Supposedly, and this is from the Wrestling Observer said this. Kurt Angle's comments about WWE interviews that were arranged for him to promote TNA events, as well as his recent tweet about Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton, are seen within TNA as Angle preparing for his life elsewhere once his contract with his company expires this coming fall. So, mark my words, Kurt Angle appears Royal Rumble 2015.
As long as he's as clean as he says he is.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's reasonably healthy,
mm-hmm.
then more power to him. But, you know, we've watched the roller coaster that is Kurt Angle.
I mean, look, 2 weeks ago, on a live show, he did he's a 45-year-old guy with a broken neck, and he did a moonsault, Kurt Angle. And he doesn't need to do that anymore. He wants to do that, but he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, and that's my concern. He doesn't have to do that. He's a very good technical wrestler, and I think a lot of people would clamor for the opportunity to see Kurt Angle wrestle Daniel Bryan.
That would be an awesome match.
Just give them 30 minutes at WrestleMania. That'd be great.
60. Make it a Broadway draw.
And you know what? They'd probably get a standing ovation. You wouldn't get a bullshit chant out of it.
Nope.
Or you at least get somebody to talk them into doing sudden death, and they go another 15 minutes. I'm there. Yeah.
Well, the primary concern with Angle is that, you know, again, well, as long as he keeps himself straight, because of his infamous drunk douche thing where he was like, oh, somebody hacked my account. And because if that happens, I mean, he's done. He's sunk his own ship if he does that shit again. Because everybody knows it's bullshit. You know, not most WWE superstars handle their own Twitter accounts. There might be a few who do have a PR person or whatever who handles it, but I'd bet that 95% of them handle their own accounts and are probably closely monitored by the Fed. So that would be the biggest concern, is that, you know, Angle is going to not only maintain himself in the ring, but outside the ring with his conduct, which is now in today's PG era is very important more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no,
Angle's been clean for a while. So,
and remember again, there are different medical tests, but when he left to where he is now, the wellness policy has improved tremendously since he left in what, 07, 08?
06. Because he was part of the ECW roster at the time.
Yeah.
So, no, trust me. Like I said, though, I'm just, as long as if he's as clean as he says he is, and judging from, you know, the fact that I haven't seen his name show up on Smoking Gun in the last year or so, I think we could take it as a safe bet. They would probably pick him up on a Legends deal anyway. He would not work a full schedule. I just can't see them making him work a full schedule.
Probably TV and that's it.
Yeah.
Mondays and Tuesdays.
Which I think he'd be more than happy with. So, with that, I'm going to call it a show. Ethan, do you have anything to promote?
Why, certainly. Folks, we are 1 week away from OrCon 2014 and the premiere of Home Game Enterprises' brand new edition of the game show machine. We just got it completed earlier in the past couple of days. It's ready to be unleashed on an unwitting public, and then we will rule the world! No, wait. No, never mind. But yes, if you want to check it out, go to our website, homegameenterprises.com. You can also find us on Yelp. Just look for us under, all you have to do is really type home game and we're there.
Very cool. Dollar, do you have anything to promote?
Unfortunately, no. I don't do a show anymore, and I work a lot, so don't really have time to do shows and stuff anymore, unfortunately.
Okay. Jason, you don't work a lot, but I know you have a lot of stuff to promote.
And Jason's dead.
Jason, unmute thyself.
There we go. The optimal word is shit ton of stuff I have to promote. Let's start off with the of course, Red State, Blue State. Ethan, we're going to record this weekend, Sunday night, hopefully. If
I'm good.
You're good. We're going to talk about the Sochi Olympics. We're going to talk Super Bowl and about a specific commercial that got a lot of people in an uproar. I think we're going to talk about...
Get the cursor!
Yes. We're going to talk about a Northern California school who did something incredibly stupid for Black History Month. We're going to talk about the fact that the administration now thinks that being unemployed frees you to do other things. And being unemployed is awesome instead of actually working, just to let you know. Because of Obamacare, by the way. We're going to record Pixel Nation and talk about some good things and about an incredibly bad thing that happened in England, which I really don't want to discuss here, which is, I think, is an attack on the Xbox itself and not about the parents of what happened in the incident. We want to talk about – I don't think the BS Big Show is going to come back anytime soon after the Super Bowl. I don't know. We'll talk to Carr about that. But I do know that Touch 'Em All is going to come back very, very soon because we're going to record, I believe, either this week or next because we're going to have the spring training edition because pitchers and catchers come back in a week. Oh, cannot wait. And the big news of the day, Alex Rodriguez dropped his suit against Major League Baseball. He might actually be contrite enough to actually sit out the season this year. And well, who knows what that will do for baseball and what's the good, the bad, and the ugly all about that. So I think we got everything there.
Awesome. So I don't have anything to promote because I'm right here with this wonderful show that always brings a smile to my face, and I'm hoping that somewhere I've brought a smile to somebody else's face. So for the slightly missing VRM, for Tyler Brown, for Ethan Muslin, for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, and do check in with us. We've still got plenty to talk about, and oh yeah.
Stay pony, my friends.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.